Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Opening day light. That's the nothing personal word of the day. It's March 20th, 2024. It's a Wednesday. And if you're with us live on the Nothing Personal with David Sampson YouTube channel, you may be doing a two-screen situation here because there is a game going on right now in Seoul, South Korea, where the Padres and the Dodgers are starting the season. And you prepare when there's an international game. This has been going on for years. MLB spends years figuring this out. It only gets confirmed in the last collective bargaining agreement. You announce it, you get the teams. The operations department of Major League Baseball goes over to Korea. The union goes over as they look at the field, as they refurbish the clubhouses. There's a ton of work that has to get done. There's credentials. You've got special events. You've got appearances. It's a whole megilla. It's a lot like the World Series and the All-Star Game when MLB has international regular season games. Spring training games, international. That is international light. These games in Seoul, international heavy. So everyone's ready. First time you'll see Ohtani in a Dodgers uniform. Crowd's excited. They're lining up. And there's certain things that you've heard me talk about that are your worst nightmare. When I was hosting the All-Star Game or World Series games, World Baseball Classic games, all you care about, not even the quality of play on the field, you're not worried about who's winning or losing the game, you're worried about the safety of your fans, especially when you've got a sold-out house. MLB had to release a statement prior to the game because there was a bomb threat that was sent purportedly to Shohei Ohtani. MLB then got together and released a statement. Of course, the normal statement, the safety and security of our fans and everyone in the ballparks where we play are always our first priority. You always have to say that. Safety first, and then talking about MLB and what they're going to do, and they're going to monitor. So what happened is there was an email that was received by police, and some guy was threatening to bomb the dome where they're playing the games. So police are finding the email. Here's the thing. We have a manual. Let's say the manual is this big. If you're listening to this, let's say 2 inches thick. It's a manual. It's a manual of what you have to do. All the different departments. Side note, quick story. When you apply to host the All-Star Game, or when you apply to host the World Baseball Classic, or when you're a possible playoff team, you have to submit to Major League Baseball an entire Bible that goes through all the departments, what they're all doing, from in-game entertainment to ticketing to sales to marketing to operations to events where you're doing parties, how many shrimp they're going to be at the parties, all sorts of details. One of the biggest things is security. And every team has its own security department. And when you travel internationally, you bring members of your team security, except it's really an MLB security event when you're on a neutral site. So MLB security, another dollar to you, Coca. So MLB security, they're the ones in charge. They're the ones dealing with the Seoul police. They're the ones that have to worry about it. And all you want to do is get through the game. Right now, they're in the top of the seventh. They're getting through the game. So that's a bit of a distraction on opening day light when it's supposed to be all about pomp, circumstance, Chan Ho Park using the same glove that he pitched with the Dodgers for in 94. Kim, the shortstop for the Padres. Tatis, the shortstop right fielder. Bogarts, the shortstop second baseman. Betts, Freeman, Max Muncy, Gavin Lux hitting ninth. Everything is supposed to be on the field. And yet the distractions off the field, the bombing's the least of it. Obviously the most important, but the least of it. How about the fact that there is a union fight going on right now? And we touched on it yesterday. Go listen to yesterday's show where we talked about Boris and the fight that's happening. It's not stopping. More quotes came out. There is now an all-out brawl for control for the Major League Baseball Players Association. You have a group of people who are supporting an up-and-coming lawyer named Harry Marino as they are trying to get him into power. You've got a group of people supporting Bruce Meyer and Tony Clark, the existing power base in the union. You've got agents who are taking sides, Boris siding with Clark and Meyer, other unnamed agents, which is a problem, they need to get themselves named, backing Marino and his bid. Boris came out and went ballistic yesterday when Evan Drellick and Ken Rosenthal came out with this article, and it's now being widely reported what is going on inside the union, and Boris came out firing. He said that what Marino is doing with his supporters is a coup that should never be done. Scott, I'm talking directly to you because I know your representatives are listening. You do that every day when you have your players who you represent go into their own clubhouse and recruit players to leave their current agents to go to you. Let me be clear. You do the exact same thing. You undertake a coup every day. You're the number one known poacher of any agent, and you're saying a coup should never be done. Then you have the gall. Boris had the gall to say, if you have great ideas, and he said this to The Athletic, and you want those ideas to be promulgated, don't use words you don't understand, Scott, in a manner that is beneficial to the union and the players they represent, you go to Tony Clark with your plan. Scott, you've never gone to Tony Clark. You have your players, and you do it all through your players. You don't use Tony Clark in that way. Just own it. Why don't you own the fact that you're losing power within the union? The players are looking at you askance because you don't deliver anymore for your players. And now you're trying to make it as though what's happening is a complete affront to everything you stand for. So, of course, in a battle of statements, Marino had to release a statement to The Athletic as well. And he said, the players who sought me out want a union that represents the will of the majority. Awesome phrasing. That's what unions are supposed to be about. Let's represent the many underrepresented people who can't fight for themselves. Yeah, that's exactly what MLBPA is for. Scott Boris is rich because he makes, or used to make, what a burn, the richest players in the game richer. That he is running to the defense of Tony Clark and Bruce Meyer is genuinely alarming. I like that as a statement. And I'm not saying I'm supporting Marino here, because Marino has not done this correctly. I'm saying that saying what you said about Boris is a chef's kiss, and this is not personal. It's important that people in the union recognize that Scott is not who he was, that owners are not kowtowing to him the way they were. The problem with what Harry, with what Marino's doing, I keep calling him Harry, and now I'm totally blanking, Coco, whether that's his first name. It is, thank you. Harry was my grandpa's name, so I think of Harry that way. Although there's Prince Harry, so Harry can be young people too. I just associate Harry as an older name. When I had a son, hey, let's name him Harry. No, that never came up. So in any case, here's what Harry needed to have done that he has not done. When you are trying to make a power play and you are trying, you can call it a coup if you want. It's not really a coup. Let's reserve that for when lives are at stake. Let's call a change of control. That's what we should call it. You need to present the constituents with a fully baked plan. Marino needed to approach the players. We're going to get rid of Mayer. We're going to get rid of Clark. And here's what we're going to do. We've got me and we've got blank. He didn't do it. There's no alternative to Tony Clark. There was no ticket that was brought to the forefront to say, hey, we've got a slate of officers that can replace the existing slate. So let's do this. All he's accomplished was saying, this guy's bad. Let's get rid of him. And by the way, Tony can stay. But what he didn't plan for was Tony Clark saying, if Bruce goes, I go. I'm not staying here without Bruce. So Tony, in theory, is drawing a line in the sand, which I'm not buying at all, because if at the end of the day, self-preservation always wins the day. So if Mayer is forced to resign, which is how they'll say it, or he gets let go by Tony, which is practically what should happen and will happen, Tony can stay on the job. So why would you say, and why would you let it be known that if not him, then not me? And I know of what I speak because I had to do that a couple of times with our owner. If you do this, I will resign. If you don't do this, I will resign. If you're going to do it, you have to mean it and you have to think you're going to win. I never wanted to resign as president of the Marlins, but I wanted to make sure that when something was going on that I really didn't like, and you can't use it every day, you can't use it every year, you can only bring that out of your quiver every once in a blue eclipse. This would have been not the time to do it. There is no reason that Tony Clark has to die on the Bruce Meyer Hill. He was pretty aware during the course of the last CBA negotiations that Meyer was not going to make it to the next round because of the level of player discontent with the deal that was approved back in 2022. He knows the executive council was against it. He knows that the players voted for it, the player reps voted for it, but they weren't necessarily thrilled. And now they're seeing a couple of years into the deal what they perceive as a depressed market for free agents of the middle, upper, and lower class. They see teams taking advantage of arbitration the way they did with J.D. Davis that we outlined on this show. And so they view that the gains they made in service time manipulation, remember, there is a way to guarantee rookie players a full year of service, even if you try to manipulate their service, if they are good. There's a whole pre-arb pool, which gets players paid more money as younger players, which was a big goal of theirs. And what we said at the time in COCA, I wish that we could go back. And I really wish that we could pull that video, which I know we can't. But there was a show that we did where we talked about that collective bargaining agreement. And when we saw the pre-arb pool get agreed to, which is this extra money going to young players, when we saw the minimum salary increase, we said the owners win here because the owners are going to take this money from elsewhere and it may come from the top of the class. And so it has. So the players now have a very big decision to make. There is a brand new executive committee for the players union. All the Boris clients were termed out after the last CBA. There's many fewer Boris clients on the committee. He's got way less power within the union right now, as evidenced by what's happening. The Tigers signed a free agent, Jack Flaherty, and he was selected to get the word out to all of us, hey, we're unified here. And the reason why the union had to get the word out to the owners that the union is together is because when we read about infighting and coups, you're doing that Snoopy dance because the best way to break a union is to divide and conquer. It's what the union does to owners. They try to get the owners into factions, which is why owners are not allowed to talk publicly. They're not allowed to fight with each other when they're negotiating the CBA. You get yelled at by the commissioner when you do that. Jack Flaherty was asked to get the message out, and he was amazing. He said that free agency is an issue for sure, but all players getting together, continuing talking and moving in the right direction, That's what I feel we're doing. It's not one side versus the other. It's everybody working toward the same thing. And that is critical and well said by Flaherty. Don't forget the other little thing that's happening right now that is brand new in baseball is the existence of all these minor leaguers at the table. These are all, for the most part, kids who are now part of the Major League Baseball Players Association, which is what they wanted, which is what Harry Marino made happen, which is how Marino built his power base. So instead of 30 player reps from each major league team and 8 members of a subcommittee, 38 people voting, you now have 72 people voting, which is 4 minor league reps on the subcommittee plus 30 minor league team reps. So 34, 38, 72. Are you shocked that the major league players have a majority? Yes, of course, 38 of 72. You can have every minor leaguer vote against it. The minor leaguers' rights will be paid attention to, but they will not be dispositive in any way in the next CBA because it's like that COCA. It's like the new competition committee where there's players on it, remember? But they have no say because there's more owners on it. And so the competition committee doesn't even tell the players what they're going to do. I like that Flaherty, who's backing Marino, said that the minor leaguers really appreciated the way he handled their unionization. So guys, listen to him, pay attention. As leaders and player reps, your job is to listen to the entire league. That's just an F you right to Scott Boras. This whole thing is really about Boras and his players. Is that unbelievable? All right. Meanwhile, games are going on, opening day light. Dodgers trying to go 162-0. I would take the under on that. Before we introduce this next segment, I don't know why I feel I still have to do this after. This is my 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. It's my 7th season out of baseball. People don't even barely know me. If you look at the demographics, who follows Nothing Personal, thank you so much for rating, reviewing, and everything you do for Nothing Personal. Watching us live every morning at 8 a.m. on the Nothing Personal with David Samson YouTube channel. Please subscribe. I was the president of Marlins. So when I do a Marlins story, I am not pro-management. I'm anti-Jeter, actually. But I'm not anti-player, pro-player. I do want to give you insight into what happened when I was in the league to give you an understanding of what happens now. I've been there before. What I saw yesterday from a member of the Miami Marlins, I've never seen in my entire career. Player v. player. You see players, veteran players, we'll ask them, and players on their own will come out during the course of a season. We need more hustle. We need to care more. We need to turn it on. We need to get better. We need to be stronger. We need to be fitter. You see players say that. Veiled references to things that could be going on. We need to be together. Rarely do you see a player go on a podcast the way Jazz Chisholm did, and he went off on a former Marlin named Miguel Rojas. Before I explain it and show you the tape of certain things he did, I've never done a count. Maybe someone watching the show will do it. Please don't. It's a complete waste of your time. But in 18 years, I don't know how many hundreds of players I've had, how many other teams I've been able to pay attention to and talk to other team executives. Miguel Rojas is universally known as one of the top 10 best people in baseball. Miguel Rojas was named the captain of the Marlins. He was traded to the Dodgers. He's actually in Korea right now, not starting for the Dodgers. He started last year for a bit. He started for a while for the Dodgers, but now they have Mookie Betts starting at shortstop. I guess if he went to the Padres, he'd play because you can play any position if you're a shortstop on the Padres. But Miguel Rojas is a great guy. I've also told you on this show that the Marlins have a clubhouse issue with Jazz Chisholm. but I had no inclination that he would do what he did. Coca, could you play this tape, please?
You, bro. Our team captain, when I was younger, came in, saw me sleeping before the game, like an hour before the game, and like he knew we had a team meeting, let me stay there and slept through the team meeting. And the coach came and woke me up 15 minutes before the game. The team captain.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. How is that a team captain?
Yeah.
That's not a team captain, bro.
Yeah.
So that's why I say now, I know if I'm sleeping, Tim, hey, bro, come on, brother, we got to go. Anybody in the clubhouse would do that.
Yeah.
Like, even up to Sandy, to the Spanish boys, to the white boys, to the black, it don't matter who it is. Our clubhouse now is so together. It's like, bro, we don't even see color in that clubhouse.
Man.
There's not a color in that clubhouse. From the top to the bottom, there's not a color in that clubhouse.
Other than the Spanish boys, the white boys, and the black boys. Now, it is true that there are cliques. That's why Martin Prado is one of the greatest people ever in the history of a clubhouse, because he can move between all the different cliques in a clubhouse. Yes, there are cliques in a clubhouse. Yes, we've had players sleep in the clubhouse. No, it's not the captain's job to get you up. It's your job not to miss a team meeting. And by the way, as you know, Jazz, this wasn't about that one moment in time. You had earned the right to not get woken up because of your behavior in the clubhouse. And I didn't want to give oxygen to the worst thing that he said. You can't be a team leader when you've got guys in the clubhouse that's been in there for 9-10 years, even though they suck. They've been there for 9-10 years and the team calls them the team captain, but they're not a good captain. They're not a good person. You're not even a good athlete at this point. You're just here and you're bringing down the young guys that are supposed to be good. Jazz, you've never done one thing. The worst possible thing is when Jeter had it so you could be on the cover of the show. What exactly have you accomplished in Big League Baseball? Here's how it works in every clubhouse. I don't care what your signing bonus is. I don't care how good you were in high school or college or the minor leagues. When you walk into the clubhouse, there's a hierarchy. There is a way, and this is not about old school versus new school. Have you walked into an office when you're hired? You're a really good sales guy and you switch jobs. You walk in like you own the place. When you switch from one Wall Street firm to another and you bring a huge book of business, you walk in like you own the place. One car dealership to another. Hey, I sold more Fords than anybody here sold Mercedes. I don't even need to know where the bathroom is because my shit don't stink. Clubhouses are no different. When people, young players come in, no matter what their pedigree is, there's a very simple rule. Shut up and play. That doesn't mean that they're not having fun. That doesn't mean it's no fun allowed. It doesn't mean that there's no camaraderie. It means there's a level of respect. I don't care. Yamamoto's a rookie with the Dodgers. Guess what? When the Dodgers dress up their rookies, or when the Dodgers have rookies bring stuff to the bullpen like candy and all the stuff they play with in the bullpen, he's a rookie. Doesn't matter that he got $300 million. And Yamamoto has an entire career behind him. Jazz Chisholm has nothing behind him. Zero. He's accomplished literally nothing as a big league player. This isn't going to end well. The Marlins signed Tim Anderson. There are some people who believe that Tim Anderson will be hurtful in the clubhouse. Some people believe he'll be helpful as it relates to Jazz in the clubhouse. I think it'll likely be the former, but I'm willing to be open-minded because I love the Marlins and the city of Miami, and I want them to win. People have always mistaken that about me. I want them to win another World Series. I loved it when they made the playoffs last year. I loved it even more that they did it without Jeter, trust me. But the problem with what Jazz did is that it will have reverberations. And here's what they will be. Jazz will enter the clubhouse today for the spring training game. You think his teammates don't know that he's never played over 100 games, except for once in 2021? Always hurt, never playing. The teammates will likely give him the silent treatment. And then it is up to Skip Schumacher, the manager, to deal with this issue prior to the season starting. If I am Bruce Sherman, the president, the owner of the team, you can't just let this go. It has to be addressed, and you have to address it quickly. I would do it today in spring training, team meeting. We're going to talk about it. Why? Rojas is gone from the team. Garrett Cooper gone from the team, but it does not matter. You cannot have Jazz Chisholm running that clubhouse. You cannot have those statements stand as is without being addressed. Oh, they'll be addressed, all right. Do you know if there were a player like Mike Lowell or Jeff Conine on the team right now, and Jazz said that, do you know what would happen to Jazz? Juan Pierre. Juan Pierre is a guest instructor at spring training. You think Juan Pierre thinks that what Jazz did is anything other than, I don't want to say a word that I was going to say. I think it would be beeped out, and I'm practicing for DraftKings Network. We got a list of all these words we can't say on DraftKings Network. All right, we'll go with immature. Good word, Coca. That's not the word that I was going to say. Not even close. All right, I'm going to close up Jazz Chisholm with the following statement, and I wanted to marinate with you. I just want you to think about it. I was already a team leader without being called a team leader. He's not a team leader, folks. Do not fall for that. All right, we come back. We're going to review a movie that I expected not to like, and I loved it. And then we're going to answer one of your questions about spring training and about a letter that an owner sent to his fan base. I found it to be fascinating. We'll be right back after this.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to Nothing Personal. It's David Sampson coming at you Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. Starting Monday. We're going to be on DraftKings Network at 10 a.m., but we will still be live here at 8 a.m. I'll be on Le Batard here in about an hour from now. Big announcement coming, a Nothing Personal announcement. Get ready for it. I promised Dan that we'd announce it on his show, but I love my listeners and my viewers. I'll see you all soon. I watched Wonka. I didn't watch it before the Oscars. Or before the Golden Globes, even though Timothée Chalamet, I think I have that wrong, Coca. He's always biking around New York City. I haven't seen him quite yet, but he's the guy, he's the kid in Love the Coopers, which is one of my favorite all-time movies that I love watching. I've seen it so many times. He plays Wonka. It's a prequel, sort of like Wicked. It's a prequel to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I thought, that's what I was told. It's a musical where he sings. And it's about him moving to a city and trying to open up a chocolate shop. And there's three members of a chocolate cartel who stop him from opening up a chocolate shop. And they go through a lot of things to stop him. And it seems totally childish and asinine. I think that's not on the list, Coca, but you'll let me know. It was such a long list. I couldn't even remember it. Words I can't say on DKN. It was like Carlin on steroids. So Willy Wonka had me from minute one. Now, I like musicals. I admit it. Hi, hold on 1 second. My name is David Samson. That's not a stroke test. That's me admitting I like musicals, and I'm good with that. Here's another thing I have to admit. I don't think I've seen the Gene Wilder Willy Wonka. I definitely haven't seen the 2005 Johnny Depp Willy Wonka. And I think I read the book, though I can't remember that either. Maybe it was the Spark Notes, Cliff Notes, Monarch Notes. All I know is I wasn't sure how it ended. I wasn't sure how it started. I just know that there was candy involved. And then Hugh Grant as an Oompa Loompa. Oompa Loompa. I wonder what Hugh Grant's thinking. He was asked about it, and he said, hey, I got kids, man. I need money. Go see Wonka. Watch it with your kids. It's good. All right, Coca.
You know what I want? I want to talk to Samson.
So you want to talk to Samson. Get in my Twitter, David P. Samson, or go on davidsamsonpodcast.com. Go to that website now or in about an hour, and you may see some new merch, and you may see what's happening with Nothing Personal. Go to levitardaf.com if you're watching three screens right now, and don't forget to fill out your bracket. I could not figure out how to fill out the bracket on levitardaf.com, so I filled out a regular bracket, and I sent it to my longtime assistant, who I love, Beth, and she's going to enter the games for me. I did the entire bracket, Coca, without knowing that Kansas has an injury. Just keep that in mind. And now I can't change it. Dang it. The irony would be, of course, if I get it right this year. Anyway, if you beat me, you'll get a prize. So you want to talk to Samson is when you ask me a question, and sometimes it makes the show. I usually like, hey, David. Hello, David. Hi, Dave. I don't like Dave. I'm not a Dave. Davy Jones, what are your thoughts on this letter from Mark Lerner? Kind of weird. He is praising fringe roster players who might not make the team. I don't recall an owner doing this type of letter at this point in spring training. Thank you very much for asking that question. Let me explain. Mark Lerner is the owner of the Nationals, the team that happens to be for sale, though Mark Lerner claims they're not for sale. Mark Lerner sent out a letter to all of his fans, all of his season ticket holders, all people in Washington, D.C. who are on a mailing list. And believe me, if you've bought one group ticket, one ticket to any game, we've got your info, and we're reaching out to you to buy future tickets. We want you in the sales pipeline. He wrote an entire letter about their young players and how good they look. And he named names. He said Gray and Mackenzie Gore and C.J. Abrams and Lane Thomas, how they're going to lead the offense and how great the pitchers looked. We have prospects like Dylan Cruz, and he mentioned Brady House. They're a pleasure to watch. I can't wait to see how they develop into impactful major league players. The future of our ball club is fully on display. So, let me explain what he was doing. Have you ever heard the expression, when you're in a lawsuit or when you're in a dispute, if you don't have the facts, argue the law. If you don't have the law, argue the facts. If you have neither, just speak loudly. I'm paraphrasing. The Nationals have been a last place team for multiple years in the National League East. The Nationals, ever since they won the World Series and have to pay Steven Strasburg all that money and have to pay all this deferred comp because they bought the World Series, God bless their soul. I'm smart that they did. It's smart that they did. They got a ring for Ted Lerner and for all the people in Washington. Their over-under this year is 65.5 wins. It is likely they will lose 100 games. It is very likely they'll finish in last place in the National League East, an extremely competitive division at the top with the Braves and the Phillies. What do you want us to do when we're trying to get you to come to games and we know our team is going to stink? We have two choices that we discuss internally. One, let's promote the road teams. Let's focus on all the great players who are coming, all the excitement of the big matchups against Bryce Harper, this, that, and the other thing. Let's do that. Or why don't we talk about the year after? My vote when I was president is I always talked about the visiting teams. I would talk up our team. Hey, I love our players. Come watch them play. Let's root for the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey. Let's have a great experience with your employees, with your family, with your friends. All of those things. I never wanted to send a letter or to focus solely on what's next. And I never wanted to send a letter focused solely on, hey, the Yankees are coming to town. Now, don't get me wrong. When we drew the Yankees or when the Cubs were coming or any sort of big player, Otani, Trout, doesn't matter. Of course, we're going to contact people to have them buy tickets by promoting the visiting team. I always allowed specific promotion of a visiting team series. No problem. But before the season started, I would communicate with our fans and I wouldn't focus on visiting teams in that communication. I wouldn't focus on our prospects. I would find a way to make people want to come now because of our team, whether it's front jersey or back jersey. So the only question that I had and the only problem I had with that letter from Mark Lerner is that I don't think it did enough to talk about today. And I understand that today's going to stink, but talk about what you've developed around the ballpark. Talk about the experience. Talk about everything that's good about going to Nationals Park. An entire letter just about young players. I'm not sure. Not the end of the world, though. It's really not the end of the world. Oh, he did finish the letter. Thank you, Coke. I almost was going to go past that. Thank you. He finished his letter by saying, I hope you'll spend some time going through our social media feeds and YouTube page to get a close look at your Washington Nationals. And we look forward to seeing you at Nationals Park this season. Yeah, that'll get people to buy tickets. All right, how are we doing with our nothing personal pick of the day? We are 34-37 pending Dodgers over the Padres on the run line. By the time you're listening to this, the game could be over. It's now 2-2 in the top of the eighth. I believe the bases are loaded, or it's first and second, one out. So it's possible the Dodgers win this game by two games, or it's possible they don't. We don't know how our pick of the day did. We will get that to you by tomorrow. For tonight, I am focused on a game in the NBA. I think Joel Embiid is still not back, not coming back. You never know who's playing for the Sixers. I'm pretty focused on the Suns. I was looking at them wondering, do I count them as an underperforming team? How do you not? Coco, where are they right now? I'm checking because I can check while we're live on a show. I was looking to see whether they're still in the play-in on the West Coast, and I think that's where they are. Yeah, they're the eighth seed. Now, they're only a half game out of number six, I grant you, and they're six games up on Houston, so they're going to make the playoffs. But did you think that the following four teams would be in the play-in tournament in the Western Conference? The Mavericks, the Suns, the Lakers, and the Warriors? Who had that on the bingo card? I mean, they could still catch Sacramento. Although the season's coming to an end. They've played, 69 games. Nice. I'm taking the Sixers plus 8.5 versus the Suns. The reason I'm not giving you a pick for tomorrow's game two of the Korea series is I'm going to stick to my theory that MLB does not like sweeps. I think the Mariners swept the A's in 2019, but that's neither here nor there. So I want to see what happens with this Dodgers game. It is now 3-2. Oh, did Cronenworth make an error? So the Dodgers just scored? Okay, thank you. That's still not a two-run win, though. So I don't know whether or not we're going to win that bet. Let's keep going because I want to get to two more topics here at least before we say goodbye today. Two things that are going on that are quite something. Let's start in the ACC. There is a lot. Let me do that better. I'll do that better for you right now, Coco. Ready? 4-8-69. There is the Sixers plus 8.5 versus the Suns is the nothing personal pick of the day for Wednesday. I want to talk about the ACC right now. There's a lawsuit that was filed, and there's a lot of misunderstanding out there in the marketplace, so I want to try to clarify it. So when you're talking to people about it, you can say, hey, I know why Clemson's suing the ACC, because I heard it on Nothing Personal. Let me go back. You know our friend John Skipper, co-founder, CEO of MetalArk Media? When he was the president of ESPN, signed a very big TV deal with the ACC, got the rights to show the ACC. The media rights were sold by the conference to a broadcaster. How does a conference get the right to sell the media rights of its individual teams? The individual teams grant the right to monetize the media rights of their own team to the conference. The conference then sells the media rights to a broadcaster. ESPN buys the rights, and everybody lives happily ever after. Except when you sign a very long-term deal, and then the entire college landscape changes, the rules of NIL change, free agency comes to college sports, it's total madness and mayhem. All of a sudden, you've got teams switching conferences the way I switch underwear, and you're trying to figure out what do we do and how do we do it. We are falling behind the SEC. We're falling behind the Big 17. So, Clemson wants to get out of the grant of rights. They want to get their rights back because what Clemson wants to do is leave the ACC. But in order to leave the ACC and to go to another conference, you've got to bring something with you. It's like these schools, you don't just switch conferences and say, hi, I'm here. You switch conferences and say, hey, I'm here. Pay me because look what I'm bringing. I'm not just bringing CFP appearances. I'm not just bringing a great football program or a great basketball program. I'm bringing the other members of this existing conference money because look at what your media rights can be with adding me to the pie. However, when Clemson's going around looking at conferences to join, they don't have their media rights because they gave their media rights to the ACC to exploit them, and they were exploited by ESPN. So Clemson is saying, give them back and don't make me overpay for them. The ACC responded and said, I don't even know what you're talking about. You voluntarily signed in 2013. You gave me the rights to sell your media. You then re-signed it in 2016. Are you surprised? Did you not read the fine print that when you sign over your rights, we have them? And if you want to leave, that's fine. It's going to cost you money, but you're still not getting your media rights back. All of this is simply about colleges, universities. Remember, there's lawsuits with FSU. There's lawsuits everywhere that are happening because these teams that want to switch conferences are trying to get their rights back, and they're trying to exit by paying the smallest amount of money possible in order for them to switch conferences. So the ACC needs to fight back and did with FSU, saying, if you want to leave the conference, we have it right here in writing before 2036. Here's the check you pay. Here's what it'll cost you, and here's the rights that you have when you leave. Clemson's trying to reverse that, and no court in this land is going to side with Clemson, and here's why. Can you imagine a system where you enter into a contract, you haven't been tortiously interfered with, you haven't been fraudulently induced, you are of sound mind and body, you enter into a contract, and then the world changes, and you say, all right, I changed my mind. How would that exactly work for our system, for our business system, for our legal system? You know when you buy a house and all of a sudden the house is worth way more because they tore down a bunch of houses across the street and built mansions? Do you think that the person who sold you the house gets to come back to you and say, hey, I can't believe my house is now worth $800,000. You paid $250,000. I thought it was worth $150,000. Give me more money. It doesn't work that way. When you buy a business from someone, you value the business at X, the seller values it at Y. If you exploit the business and make more, the seller doesn't get to charge more for his company. Or if you stink and the business folds, the seller doesn't give you money back. You make your bed. That's why it's so important when you're signing these deals. And I talked about it yesterday with Bryce Harper. When you sign a long-term deal, that's the deal. That's the bargain. If you're all of a sudden worth more, sorry. If you're worth less, hey, I'm the one who's sorry. It's not like you're giving back the money. How do I think this ends? It's my favorite expression, Coca. It ends with tears and a journey. What does that mean? It means there will be some sort of settlement. Somehow there will be a way, and Clemson will find its way free. But we'll see how that works. You know, if I were running a conference, I was thinking about this the other day. All these teams, remember when Tony Petitti of the Big Ten came out, Coca, and he came out with, what was it, the SEC? Or there was some other conference, and they're going to try to be the behemoth conferences, and they're going to want more money than the other people. And you've got schools. FSU did this. Remember when they said, hey, we want to be paid an uneven share? It was Clemson, Miami, and FSU who approached the conference and said, do me a favor and just give me more money. Remember what the conference said, obviously? No, you signed a deal. All right, let's revisit something right now. I got to talk about A-Rod. Hello, Alex. Land of 10,000 lakes. Loving your Minnesota home and all of your Minnesota stuff. A-Rod is trying to buy the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's been doing that since 2021 in what we told you was called a step transaction. A step transaction is when it's like installments. He bought 20% of the team in 2021. Then time passed, he bought another 20% of the team. And now by the end of March, he has to buy another 40% of the team. That will give him 80% of the team. That will give him the majority share. And it will give him the general partnership, because part of this next 40% that he has to buy from Glenn Taylor is the general partnership. And everything's coming up roses. A-Rod's acting like the owner's sitting first row. Timberwolves are having a great season. And then we read an article that A-Rod is having a hard time coming up with the money to close the transaction. And to that, I say, it's poppycock. How do I know? So the rumor that you're reading is that the Carlyle Group, which is a firm, was going to give about $300 million to A-Rod to have him finish the transaction to buy the rest of the Timberwolves from Glenn Taylor. What you're not reading is that the deal that A-Rod did was at a valuation of $1.5 billion back in 21. The team is clearly worth more than $1.5 billion today. So A-Rod has already made money. He wants people to come in and finance the rest of his transaction at a higher number than the valuation that he agreed to pay Glenn Taylor. Let me get this to you in a very simple way. He agreed to pay Glenn Taylor $100. That's a dollar a share. He has to give Glenn Taylor $40 for the last 40 shares. But those shares are now worth $2. So A-Rod, in theory, is getting money. He's giving $40 away to get 40 shares, and he immediately is worth an extra $40 because the shares are now worth $2 each. Someone lending A-Rod money would say, hey, A-Rod, I'll lend you money. Here's the interest rate. Go buy those shares. go be David Beckham with a small option to buy Inter Miami that is already in the money, meaning the team is worth more than you have to pay. Go do it. Except A-Rod can't borrow any more money. So he has to go the equity route, meaning people have to become his partner in the team, which means that the people are looking at the value of the team and they want to buy in at $1.5 billion, but he wants to sell to them at $1.8 billion or $2.1 billion. And the investors are saying, screw you. Why should I buy at a different level than you're buying? That gives you a benefit that I'm not getting. That's not fair. So now the question is, will A-Rod be willing and able to finish the transaction to buy the Timberwolves? And the answer is an unequivocal yes. The deal will get done. You may be reading for sure that it has to be closed by the end of March. I would tell you that the way these deals work, it has to be close to closed by the end of March. The money has to be there somewhere. Documents will not have to be finalized. The Board of Governors will not have to approve. So don't worry. The Timberwolves will be sold to A-Rod. Why? Because it's just business. We'll be back tomorrow at 8 a.m. live. This is Nothing Personal.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stopped, opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.